Hello, and thank you for listening to Girl Wonder. My name is Jo Rochelle, and I'm just your everyday girl talking about your favorite webtoons. In this episode, we are going to explore our predictions and theories based on the latest episodes of the following webtoons: Lore Olympus, Siren's Lament, Freaking Romance, and My Dear Cold-Blooded King. In the description box of this podcast, you have the start times for when I talk about each webtoon, and there is a short musical interlude between each one. So feel free to skip around and listen to the discussions of the webtoons that you love the most. And before we start, our top cities that have listened to this podcast the most in the last 7 days are Los Angeles, California, Anaheim, California, Chicago, Illinois, San Francisco, California, South Bank, Australia, and Temecula, California. So many people in California listening in the last week. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. It means the world to me, and I'm ready to talk about some webtoons now. All right, let's get into it. Lore Olympus, episode 70. I think this episode just gives us more proof that Aphrodite has a heart, a big heart, and I saw that in this episode of Lore Olympus. She finally finds out the truth from Eros. He had been lying to her by not telling her about his relationship with Psyche this entire time. Something he says that really resonated in this episode was, "I love her, but she tried to kill me." How profoundly sad is that, you guys? Of course, we know Psyche's side of the story pretty well. You know, we saw her sisters come. We saw the seeds of doubt that they planted in her mind. But we didn't really get to see Eros's point of view until now. He woke up, and the person that he's in love with was trying to stab him in the middle of the night. It is heartbreaking. And you can tell in this car scene, Eros is crying and crying and crying in this car with his mother. So Aphrodite does what a supportive mother would do in this situation, which is go to Eros's apartment to pack up all of his things for him, because he tells her he can't go back there. It's too traumatic. It's too fresh. It's too raw. He can't do it. So Aphrodite does it for him. Like I said, this mother will do anything for Eros. We talked about this in a past episode. She will do anything for her child, like Forrest Gump's mother in the movie Forrest Gump. So she gets to the apartment and Psyche's there, also crying in his bed. And what I thought was really interesting about this scene is that Aphrodite shows mercy. It's not clear to see, it's definitely in the subtext, but you can see the mercy that she shows towards Psyche in the scene. I mean, the first instance I saw where, okay, maybe Aphrodite has a softer heart than we originally thought, was when she says to Psyche, "It's no fun if you cry like that." She's not actually having fun seeing Psyche tortured or in pain or sad. You know, it doesn't actually bring Aphrodite joy to watch her suffer like this, especially like it doesn't bring her joy to watch her son suffer. So she gives Psyche a minute to plead her case, tell the story from her point of view. And Aphrodite listens. And then she decides that she's going to do a little experiment. Now, it makes sense that Psyche was really scared that Aphrodite was going to kill her, but that's not the case at all. Like we all have been saying, she does have a big heart, and that's not who she is. So she seems to be transforming Psyche into a nymph, and the experiment is to see how much Eros really loves her. And before I talk about the comments left on this webtoon, another line that really stood out to me, this episode had a lot of great dialogue, by the way. Another line that stood out to me was when Aphrodite said, "He was never meant to have a broken heart." That's Eros she's talking about. And I don't know why, but it's just stuck with me. Ever since I read that episode, I've been thinking about that line. He was never meant to have a broken heart. We're talking about Cupid. We're talking about Eros. And she says that about her son because, you know, he said, "Is this what mortals feel like when we play our games with them?" And, you know, he's attached to a mortal now, which is Psyche. You know, he's been with a mortal. He has feelings for a mortal. And that line has just really stood out to me. So Starry Lights commented on this webtoon saying, "Why is Aphrodite so enjoyable to read? She's very flawed, but she's also likable due to her underlying intelligence and passion for what she does as a goddess." This is a pinpoint accurate description of how we are starting to really feel about Aphrodite. She's very flawed, yes, but aren't we all? That's what makes her a complex character. And I love how it says intelligence and passion for what she does as a goddess. She is extremely intelligent and passionate, and she knows how to get what she wants. So it's pretty cool to see her character really get fleshed out. Derek the Red commented on this webtoon and said, "He was never meant to have a broken heart. You sure about that, Aphrodite? It might be a humbling thing for the god of love to experience such a pain, to ensure that he understands the gravity of his powers and what it does to others, both good and bad." And there you have it. That's why this really stood out to me, that line. I just kept hearing it in my head over and over after I read it. He was never meant to have a broken heart. And I couldn't help but disagree with Aphrodite that, yes, you know what? That might make him a better god, a better being. Now that he's experienced some heartbreak, he could help mortals way more than he could before. He can be more compassionate than before, more caring than before. Sometimes heartbreak is good. Molds you and forms you into the person that you're supposed to be in the first place. That's just my little opinion. And so here's one last comment on the webtoon before we move on. Anne Pye commented and said, "I bet Persephone will help Eros and Psyche then. Once Eros feels love again and is at his happiest, he will help not play games with Hades and Persephone's relationship. Maybe his newfound emotional intelligence will lead to a sit down with Hades about his relationship with Minthe and the toxicity of it." I thought that was a pretty cool prediction, especially since this episode will just be hinting on the predictions of readers and myself. We can be wrong at any point, and that's okay. It's just fun to guess at what will happen next, and I would like to see that. I'm putting that down as my prediction too, that Persephone, since Eros is already talking to her saying that I want to find Psyche again, it's time for me to return to the love that I abandoned, it'd be nice to see Persephone be involved in getting them back together, and then see Persephone and Hades get brought back together with Eros's help, with his newfound emotional intelligence, as Anne Pye commented. I love it. Yes, growth, character development. I can't wait to see what happens next. Siren's Lament, episode 146. So Lyra, Ian, and Sean are still on the hunter's boat, and the hunter is completely tied up. And one thing I noticed is that Sean has become so observational. Remember, this is Siren Sean, who's lacking all of his memories. But he's still the same Sean we know. He's just a little quieter and a lot more observational. He's watching Lyra and Ian interact, and he's just so quiet, thinking that these lighthearted moments are what Lyra has been fighting for this entire time. It's like she didn't know how good she had it until it was compromised. All the fun that she was having with Ian and with Sean in the flower shop, those are the moments that she was worked so hard to bring back. And I think Sean's really noticing that. He was just having a very deep moment at the top of this episode. And yeah, Lyra wants things to go back to normal for the three of them. But I'm not so sure that will happen. And if it does, it's not going to happen for a while. So I say this because Ian is basically the new Krim, right? He has the glowing eyes to show for it and everything. And when Sean suggests that Ian becomes a human again by kissing the hunter, of course, yeah, that... Ian is like, "That's gross and I don't want to do that, la 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 la." But then deep in his mind, he can hear Aaliyah, aka the Poseidon, telling him that you need to stay a siren or else I can't call you back. And you know what? As someone who likes Ian, that makes me worried for him and on so many levels because, one, he's basically the Poseidon's new henchman, and two, how the heck is Ian going to explain his connection to the Poseidon now, the newfound powers that he has, and the secrets that he's been keeping from Sean and Lyra? You know, it's no joke. At this point, Ian has a lot of explaining to do. There are so many things he has not told them. They are still in the dark about who the Poseidon is. So I'm just worried for him as an Ian fan. I'm a fan of all three of them, by the way. But as someone who cares about him, I just worry about him a little bit there. There are so many secrets building up, and that's why I feel like the friendships aren't going to go back to 100% normal. It just can't. Not at this point. Another moment that stood out during this episode was the Hunter kind of monologuing or lecturing them about what he thinks about sirens and then reminiscing about his brother, who we know is still alive, but nobody on that boat knows that. So his brother's real name is Zael, and his weakness was women. Well, according to the Hunter, his weakness was women. But we also know the Hunter is super sexist and says misogynist things all the time. Take everything he says with a grain of salt. But it's interesting to see that the Hunter in the flashback is like a little child, and his brother, who we know is River, at least I believe we know is River, who's hanging out with Peel, he is the same age that we see him now, or even he looked even a little bit older, but maybe that's because the Hunter is so young. So about Zael's weakness of women being his weakness, we find out at the end of the flashback, it's none other than Aaliyah, the Poseidon, showing up as the woman who ruined it all for the Hunter and his brother. And I thought, well, that was a great cliffhanger, and now I just can't wait to see what happens. Catherine May commented on this webtoon and said, "This is what Pinky does. She's a life ruiner. She ruins people's lives." I'm always up for a Mean Girls quote. I'm pretty sure that's about Regina George, and I love it. It's hilarious. Gizo Chen Barukun commented on this webtoon and said, "So he is Aaliyah's dead fiancé, who they were talking about in the beginning of the story." I like that prediction. I thought that was pretty interesting, and I didn't come up with that on my own. All the credit goes to that person who gave a comment on this webtoon. But what an interesting prediction that River slash Zael is Aaliyah's dead fiancé, who they mentioned a while back, you know? So many broken hearts that are now starting to intertwine in this story. I have a few predictions that I want you guys to start thinking about, which is Ian's duplicity. I have to mention it again. Ian and the Poseidon have a connection right now and have some secrets between them that aren't clear to Sean and Lyra. I wonder how the characters are gonna respond to that when they do see that he has Krim powers now. I mean, Sean has seen it. Sean is suspicious of those glowing eyes, but I don't think he would ever assume that, yeah, you're working with the Poseidon now. And to an extent, Ian's not really working hard for the Poseidon, but he's not working against her either. He's not like, yeah, I'm going to become a human because she wants me to become a siren and I'm going to do the opposite. No, he's staying in line with her goals and her plans for now because he feels like they align with his goals and his plans for now. I'm just very nervous, you guys. What's going to happen when they find out that he's not been truthful and they look through the whole ocean to find this man, this man/fish, and now he's not telling the truth, and I'm nervous about the tension between this triangle of friends and how it's going to turn out. So what do you guys think? What's going to happen next? Freaking Romance, episode 22, which happens to be the season 2 premiere. So in this episode, we get the theory of parallel worlds explained by Zelen to Zillith. They talk about different dimensions. We get a really funny Doctor Who reference, but it's Healer Who. I laughed for 5 minutes about that. It was really funny. And I got to realize how much I missed these two characters and their personalities so much. They were back in full force, you guys, for the season 2 premiere. Xylith at times has some of the best one-liners in this entire series. She's so, so funny, and this episode is no exception to that. So one thing that comes up that we cannot forget about is the girl that went missing from the same apartment. But, you know, when we were in previous episodes, Zelen mentioned that he moved in on October 1st, and that does not coincide with when that girl lived in that apartment. And I will say this, every time I see a glimpse of that girl that went missing, just seeing her face, and I just get scared. Every time I'm scared easily, and it's just something that scares me a bit. It kind of reminds me of, there was a completed webtoon a long time ago called My Boo, and it's a totally different character, but also a woman character that scared the crap out of me every time she showed up. Those of you who've read My Boo, you will remember there was a scary woman that, sorry, I'm scared right now. It is nighttime. I am all alone in this room and I am so scared. I'm going to move on. But just that character is definitely important to the story. She keeps showing up. So some of the theories that Zelen and Xylith are talking about when it comes to her is that maybe she saw another world. If there are two parallel dimensions, if there are two parallel worlds, maybe there are three, maybe there are four, maybe there's an infinite number. So maybe she saw another world. Maybe it was a scarier reality than the one that Zelen or Xylith are living in. And that's how she disappeared and never showed up again. So some of us have theories that maybe she was just obsessed with the guy that she was seeing from a different world, or she was kidnapped. Either way, I'm a little too scared to talk about it tonight. My house is literally creaking right now in the dark. It just, sometimes the roof creaks. It didn't have to happen now, but it's happening now. So I'm moving on to talk about the jokes and some of the lighter moments of this episode. One of the things that made me laugh out loud was when Xylith said that her sci-fi game is weak. I thought that was hilarious. Aiden's sense of humor, Aiden the author, also known as Snail Lords, also called Milord by his fans, just the sense of humor just cracks me up every time. I can't wait to see what other jokes he puts in Xylith's mouth every week. So one thing Zelen and Xylith talked about was the desire to see the other side. That must be what connected them to see each other in the first place. Remember, we talked about it at length many, many weeks ago before this was on hiatus. We talked about Zelen's willingness to just see a ghost and maybe be kidnapped by that ghost. Even though he was mostly joking, he was a little bit serious, and then he started seeing things that weren't there, right? And same thing for Xylith, just this eagerness to kind of see the other side because they're unhappy with their current realities. Zelen as a singer right now with many, 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 many fans, 9.9 million Instagram followers. He's not actually happy though. Like that doesn't, those things don't equate to happiness. And same thing for Xylith, her relationship with her father, that note, good luck surviving on your own. Her current reality isn't really a happy one either, so it makes sense that maybe they see each other because they need each other to get through whatever they're going through. At least that's the lighthearted version of it. It could be darker than that, because something I'll never forget is how everything Zelen said in the first season of the series could be taken a different way. There's something about him that's so, he's so intelligent. He's so smart. Think about how he described everything to Xylith, all of his theories about what's really going on. And he was so good at playing dumb because he's that smart, right? In season one. So I'll never forget that, even if he turns out to be completely innocent of it all. And I'm not so sure about that now, because at the end of this episode, he says he has a confession to make. But at the same time, it could be anything. And another laugh out loud moment for me was when Xylith goes, boy, what? So Sunset Shimmertastic commented on this webtoon and said, watch his confession be something like, Xylith, I ate your food while you were gone. I'm sorry. That is actually very possible, because he's also very sweet and sometimes can be so innocent that he could very well say that. That's a funny prediction. Also, Alessi commented on this webtoon and said, I have a theory. what if the guy that lived there previously is actually from Zelen's world, and he switched places with the missing girl and didn't want to tell Xylith the truth because he doesn't want to go back? I thought that was possible, but also I think the guy that they're mentioning is the roommate that Xylith interviewed many episodes ago, who talked about the missing girl and how she saw a guy and then she disappeared one day and no one ever even knew that she existed. She just got wiped from the existence of the face of the earth. But I'm not sure I agree with this theory, because it really did feel like this roommate was from Xylith's world and he never saw anything. I mean, he could have been lying. That's very possible. But also, the missing girl switching places with someone, it felt like she was obsessed with that person. So would they switch places, or would they just end up in the same world, the same plane, the same universe together? So I don't know. We have a lot of theories. We have a lot of predictions, but we won't find out what's really going on until we read the next update of Freaking Romance. My Dear Cold-Blooded King, Episode 110. Hayashi is trying to make a deal with Kozuke to take down the Blood King. And of course, Hayashi has been beaten, basically to a pulp, and he just comes across as really, really desperate, pathetic in this scene where he just is so angry and so badly wants revenge, even though he's been so terrible this entire series. He's just been such an awful person to every character that we care about, right? And after getting beaten up, he still hasn't taken any time to reflect, to figure out what got him into the situation in the first place, what parts of himself does he need to work on. There is no self-awareness or self-reflection for Prince Hayashi. We can tell. So he wants to take down the Blood King, and by that he means the both of them. He wants Ryusaki and Katsu to be taken down. And Kozuke agrees with this. Kozuke is down for the plan. They want a new prince to arise, but Hayashi feels like that is him. He will be the Blood King, and I can tell Kozuke is like, no. He's not clear about agreeing with Hayashi being the one to take over once those two are out of the way. That's not the case at all. Cut to the next morning, and we get Mei sleeping on Ryusaki's chest. And there is some morning friskiness between the two of them until Mei punches him across the room, of course, because that's their relationship. There was ear nibbling. There was making out. It was a scene that I'm sure made fans scream everywhere. I could basically hear it coming through my screen. That was a very cute. Lots of good moments between Mei and Ryusaki in this episode. I think it's the most we've ever seen from them in terms of physical romance. I think this would be the one where we see the most of it. Nearing the end of the episode, we see General Shibasaki report to Kozuke, and Kozuke calls him Toshi. And Kozuke says something about it being important for General Shibasaki to leave his post. So what do you have to tell me? And the news is this. Mei and the king are to be married next week. And Kozuke, he was like, are you sure? Are you 100% sure? And he decides that he wants to seize the palace before the wedding. He's not going to let that go forward. He's going to ruin everything. He's going to try to burn this ship as fast as he can. And he wants to take what he believes is his. And something that really came through in this episode was that Kozuke never had any intention of really working with Prince Hayashi. He just agreed for the sake of agreeing, because when we see the line of the fool has given me his entire army, he's just using him for the manpower, but he's not really aligned with Hayashi. And I noticed in the comments a lot of comparisons between Hayashi and Kozuke, how they're both kind of villains of the series. I think we could agree and say that they've been villains of the series. They've kidnapped Mei or done something to her that she didn't want to have happen to her, right? But at the same time, they're so different. Kozuke has a backstory that really explains how he got to be who he is, And Hayashi is just, he won't learn and he won't change. And he's a harder villain to sympathize with. I'll say that. The Emerald Drake commented on this webtoon and said, "So the truth is out. The general has always loved Yuta, and he hates Mei because Yuta loves her. He has hidden his hatred of Katsu as well." So I fully 100% believe that General Shibasaki is devoted to Kozuke after all they've been through together, after all those years. But at the same time, I couldn't tell if this person was saying that General Shibasaki has always loved, you know, Kozuke slash Yuta in a romantic way or not. And I think that's possible. I think it's very possible. He's always been really distant and angry towards Mei. So it's a possibility that it's either just like devotion because of all that they've been through, or it could be romantic love, or it could be a mixture of both. But there is something that we can all tell is there, that like strong feeling towards Kozuke. We're just not 100% sure. We don't have proof whether it's romantic or not, but I think it's a possibility for sure. I think what will really be tested though in the future is how far does his devotion go to Kozuke? After all these years of pretending to be loyal to someone else, will he really try to ruin the Blood King, seize the palace, destroy everything there? Is he still upset? I don't know. He seemed conflicted, honestly. We could be reading into it, but he didn't seem really gung-ho. He wasn't like Prince Hayashi, like, let's take them all down. He was so quiet, and a lot of close-ups on his eyes and his face in the scene where Kozuke is so sure that he's going to destroy everything, right? DayFan4Life commented on this webtoon and said, "Who else still thinks that the general will end up being a good guy?" Me. I think that's possible. It's just my guess. I could be 100% wrong and Shibasaki screws everyone over in the next episode. But for now, my guess is that the general might be a good guy. So let's keep on reading, My Dear Cold-Blooded King, and find out. And now I'd like to move on to our listener response segment. Shout out to Hope and Kim, who bought me coffees after listening to the Sex, Love, and Relationships in Lore Olympus episode, which dropped this past Saturday. Thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. The link to buy me a $3 coffee is in the description box of this podcast and every recent podcast episode. So if you guys listened to the bonus episode, thank you so much. It was a lot of work to put it all together, but it was also one of our most listened to episodes. Right now, it is the most listened to episode in this podcast's history. So that's very cool. Thank you guys. All right. So I asked a question of the week last week, and that was, how do you guys listen to your podcasts? I'm really curious about your platforms. And the answers were mostly Spotify. You know, I asked on Instagram and on Twitter, and mostly Spotify. There are some people who listen on iTunes and SoundCloud. I found out I'm on something called Player FM, which is really cool, and CastBox was mentioned. I heard some people mention also, at least three people said YouTube would be great if I was on YouTube, and I think that's something I would totally consider in the future, but it would just be posting a still image and uploading the podcast, because this is an audio experience. I do video stuff from my full-time job, and I'm not ready for them to blur quite yet, but I will one day. It's just not today. So those are basically the main ones. I also heard someone say Overcast and Google Play Podcasts. So I have some research to do, but thank you guys so much for answering this question. It was really important for me to see how I can better serve you, and that was super helpful. So thank you guys so much for participating in last week's question of the week. We are reaching the end of the podcast now, where I pose a question of the week to you. Have you bought some webtoon merch? It's August. It's finally August. After all this time, my curiosity has finally been quenched. Tons of webtoon creators were posting that August is coming and a mystery collab was coming, and now we know it's through merchandise. And there's a really cool shirt with chibi characters from some of our favorite webtoons, and then there's also individualized merchandise too, with just, you know, if you want something that has Lore Olympus characters on it, you can go for that. If you want Age Matters, you can go for that. So I thought that was such a cool thing, and I'm definitely going to buy stuff, but I'm curious and I'm nosy, and I want to know what you guys are buying. What caught your eye on the website? You can let me know through email, you can let me know through DMs on Twitter or Instagram, or just comment on the podcast episode. Let me know what merchandise are you going to order, or have you already ordered? If you feel comfortable sharing, let me know. I'm definitely going to get stuff, but I want to know what you're getting too. Wow, you made it to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening to Girl Wonder. We currently have no sponsors, so here is a joke instead. Why are frogs so happy? They eat whatever bugs them. Thank you again for listening. New episodes of Girl Wonder are uploaded on Tuesdays. I'm Jo Rochelle, and we'll talk again next week. Bye.